Our scripture reading this morning is out of the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, starting with verse 17. Just as a body, through one, has many parts, but all as many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot stand to the say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think of less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special attention, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This is the word of God for the people of God. We need each other. Centuries ago, in Europe, a wealthy nobleman decided to build a church building. Everyone in the village was excited, but no one was permitted to see the plans or the inside of the building until it was finished. Finally, the day arrived. And the people gathered on Sunday to marvel at the beauty of the new building. But when they went inside, someone said, where are the lamps? It's dark in here. Then the nobleman pointed to a line of brackets along the wall. And then he gave each of the families a lamp, telling them to bring your lamp each time you come to worship. And then he explained, each time you are here, the place where you're seated will have light. But every time you're not here, your place will be dark. This is to remind you that whenever you fail to gather with the church, some part of the building will be dark. Makes sense, doesn't it? Now, I modified this illustration a little bit. The original story placed emphasis on the idea that the church building was the church. But it's not. We Christians are the church. And this building is just a building that we meet in. This is not the church. You and I are the church. And so, I modified the story so that you'd get my point. And the point is this. When Christians aren't together in worship, there's something wrong. It's like there's a bit of darkness that settles over our hearts. You see, we need each other. In fact, the Bible is very clear about that idea that God's people need each other. Back in the Old Testament, God declared this: two are better than one. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can't defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. These words are taken out of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. So having read that, and having said what I just said, sometimes congregations forget that. Sometimes churches believe their total purpose in life is to show up at the building for worship. And then let the preacher and the elders and the singers do all the stuff of worship. And so they smile. And they sing. And they do all sorts of worship stuff. And then they go home. But they don't need each other. They just need the folks up front during the church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 reads this: no, that's not the way this works. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 21 says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. I say again, we need each other. As Ecclesiastes reminds us, we're in this together. And when we're together, we have others around us to help us, to keep us warm, to protect us, to keep us from being broken down by the hardships of life. I say this from experience. I can't imagine what it would be like to face a life-threatening disease all alone. I can't tell you how important it is to know that you are part of the body of the church. I can't tell you how important it is to feel the love of your church family. I can't tell you what it's like to face these type of things alone. I can't tell you how important. I can tell you how important this church family, this body of Christ, is to Pat Brzezinski. I visited with her before she went into the coma. And with tears in her eyes, she told me how important, how much she loves this church. How important it was to her to know that she is not alone. It was humbling. It was heartfelt. I have never, ever seen tears in Pat's eyes. until Wednesday night. She knows that she's loved. She knows that we need each other. Now, God deliberately uses the imaginary of us being the body of Christ. And in Ephesians 5, verse 29, we're told, no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. How much do you like yourself? How proud of you are you of yourself? How proud do you feel when you do something for somebody else? How good does it make you feel when you know that you mean something to the body of Christ? We need each other. As good as you feel about yourself, as proud as you are, I want to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ is far beyond as far as being proud of you. He is way out there with his love for you, for his church, for his body of Christ, because he knows that we need each other. And each other includes him. Think about this for a minute. How do you nourish or cherish your physical body? Well, you feed it. Sometimes you really feed it well. You cleanse it. Showers and baths and shaving and etc. If you're sick, you see a doctor. If your teeth hurt, you see a dentist. You put clothes on that you think makes you look good. And once in a while, you even pamper yourself and entertain yourselves. Those are just some of the ways that you and I nourish and cherish our mortal bodies. But now, God is telling you that you're part of a huge spiritual body. And he's asking you to personally to help take care of that body. Just as well as you take care of your mortal body. Maybe even better. But how do we do that? How do we nourish and cherish Christ's body? First, we need to realize that being part of the body of Christ means that God expects us to participate with that body. Before the COVID-19 occurred, we did that a lot. We were so involved with one another. But unfortunately, too often, in too many congregations, that doesn't happen. Do you know there are still churches that are not meeting? Look at how we are restricted here because of the COVID. It limits us on how we nourish the body of Christ. So we need to find other ways of doing this. Ways that doesn't endanger us or promotes us to catch the virus. There are ways out there. We need to search for them. We need to look for them. A person by the name of Francis Chan observed that. He said, It's no secret that most people who attend church services come as consumers rather than servants. In other words, they don't want to get involved. I have a good friend of mine that goes to Resurrection Life Church. The reason he goes to Res Life is because it's so big that he isn't being asked to get involved. He can come in, sit down, let the preacher and the singers and all the other people do the worship duties, and then he can get up and go out the back door and never be bothered. That is not being part of the church family. That is being a absorber. It's not being a giver. What can you do to involve yourself with the body of Christ? Some of the stuff we are already doing. We pray for each other. This is one of the most praying churches that I've ever been in. And that is exactly being part of the body of Christ. We try to make people feel like they're important. And we try to take care of each other's needs. I see that in this church more than any church I've ever attended. If you need a ride to church, you just pick up the phone. Somebody's there at your back door. If you need prayer, you just mention it. Somebody's there. We'll put it out on the prayer line. Or people will call you and say, pray for such and such, or who. That's part of being the body of Christ. That's part of nourishing that body. There are people who regularly call on the shut-ins and the sick. And then there's others who will send out encouraging cards. That's awesome. Because we need each other. That's especially important in this COVID world. Call people. Email people. Contact each other on Facebook. Send cards and letters. Contact one another and see how each other is doing. And pray for each other. We need each other. And even more than that, I need you. I make mistakes. I fail. Every preacher worries that they'll miss something, forget to call someone, not contact a person who wants to be contacted, and I'm just as prone to fail as the next man. I need you to contact me if you think I should contact someone or pray for someone. You see, without you, I miss someone and I don't want to miss. I need your help. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't be doing the same, calling or contact or praying, but it does mean that I need your help. I need you to help me not mess up. In addition, a lot of churches miss an extremely important part of the nourishing and encouraging that we need to do for each other. And the reason they miss out on this is because most churches are set up around the preacher. Excuse me. The preacher is the center of the church, and everything rises and falls with that preacher. In a lot of churches, the preacher does the work of the ministry and everybody else is the cheering section. But that's not how God set things up. And I've come to realize that that is not how this body of Christ called Carlisle functions. In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, we read this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which ourselves are comforted by God. What those verses are saying is this. Each of us is comforted by God in our struggles, so that we can comfort others. You see, God trains us. He trains us to minister to each other. Ministering isn't limited to somebody coming up here in front of you on a Sunday morning and preaching the word. Minister is manifested in many different ways. Ministering is supporting one another. Ministry is doing what it takes to help people up that are down. Ministering is cards. Ministering is prayer. Ministering is phone calls. Ministering is just contact. Ministering is, when we can do this, when COVID is behind us, is just hugging someone and letting them know that they're loved and they care and you care for them. One preacher I spoke with told of an unusual thing that happened at his church. This particular church has an open mic prayer time. And one Sunday a man stood up and said this, I need your prayers. I've been struggling with alcohol most of my life and I've made the decision that I'm going to quit. I've not had a drink for the past couple of weeks and it's getting really, really tough. Then there was a pause. And then another man stood up and said, I had the same problem. And I didn't think I could quit, but I did. I've been off the bottle now for 5 years. And then another man stood up and said roughly the same thing. And then another man. About three or four men stood up that day and confessed that they struggled in this, and they all pledged to help the first man overcome his habit. Do you know what happened there? What happened was that there were three or four men who'd been comforted by God, and they in turn comforted a struggling brother, saying they'd been there, they'd be there for him. They showed what it meant to need each other. You see, when they were struggling, God comforted them. And when they were struggling, God used that as a lesson to these other men on how to comfort somebody else. And fortunately enough, these men learned that lesson. I don't know what happened. The illustration I'm using didn't give me the end of the story, but I'll dare bet that man never had another drink because of how other people comforted him and showed what it meant when they say we need each other. Now, one last thought. Whose body is the church? Who does a body belong to? Who do we belong to? We don't belong to this building. We don't belong to this body. We don't have an exclusivity on being part of the body. The body belongs to Jesus Christ. He is the body. Colossians 1 verses 16 through 18 says, "For by Christ shall all things, by Christ all things are created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent." Christ is the head of the church. And it is his body. So why is that important? Because somebody has to be in charge. And if it isn't Jesus, who's it going to be? Oh, there's endless possibilities. It could be the pastor. It could be the elders. Or someone with influence. Or someone with a lot of money. Who owns the church? Jesus does. That's who owns this church. But it doesn't matter what's on the sign out front. Unless this church, not just a building, but the body, unless we as a body of believers belong to Jesus Christ, we have failed. You see, the marquees out aren't bragging about who we are. Whatever's on that sign out front isn't bragging about who we are or any other church sign as far as that goes. It's bragging about who we belong to. It's a proclamation that Jesus owns us. He is our head. He is our master. He is our savior. He holds us, the body of Christ, together. And we call ourselves a church of Christ because we love him. Because we belong to him. And because we want to spend eternity with him. So I have a question for you this morning. Do you love him? Do you love Jesus Christ? Do you accept him as the head of the church? Do you belong to him? Do you want to spend eternity with him? So right now, I ask you to confess that Jesus will now be the Lord and Master of your life. Let's take just a moment for those that want to do this. Lord, we just ask that you hear these prayers. We just ask, Lord, that you open your arms wide and receive those who have accepted you as Jesus Christ, Master of all things. Hear the words. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.